Hello, Merry Christmas. It's Seven here, otherwise known as the Muppet who forgot to press record this morning when doing the sermon. And so here I am in the afternoon re-recording it. So I hope that you enjoy listening to this. We start with a question with how has your year been and how do you feel you can connect with God most easily? Because we all connect with God in slightly different ways, and as we read through the Gospels and the story of Christmas time, then we find different groups of people connecting with God in different ways. The shepherds, for example, they just connect with God at their place of work. They're out looking after their sheep as they do every day, and within that they encounter something of God speaking to them and the heavenly hosts and all the rest of it. For Mary, she encounters God in her family, in a deepening of relationship with Elizabeth that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that God speaks into a relationship with her and Joseph. If the shepherds, it was at work, and for Mary, it was the family. For Simeon, one of the lesser known characters in the Christmas story, or certainly less spoken about, Simeon encounters God in the temple. And for someone like myself, who spends quite a lot of time at church or doing church stuff, then it's good to remind myself that God is still speaking to us in the temple, in the church. There's something wonderful, and I hope that you've had a chance to do it this time of year, to get along to a church building or a cathedral or a space that's been designed for worship, because there's those moments in there when, I don't know, you go into a big cathedral and the candles are there and the carols or whatever it is. Something sacred about that, something holy. And for Simeon, that's exactly where he encounters God. We read through the passage, then starts, there was a man called Simeon in Jerusalem who was righteous and devout. Righteous and devout. I reckon we all know people like that. I'm just trying to think of people in my life who I would describe as a bit like Simeon. You know, the people that just always seem to do the right thing. That's the steadfast ones, the faithful ones, the people who are dependable and always show up on time and always seem to do the honourable thing. Do we know people like that? Simeon is a devout and righteous man. I do really like him as a character. And I was reading through this story this week and I was thinking about why Luke put him in. And I think Luke puts him into the story, not just because he's a devout and righteous man who warrants his own mention. But I think Simeon, for Luke as he's writing it, Simeon represents something bigger. I think Simeon represents the devout and honest and righteous Jewish people, the people of Israel, who have stayed true to God, stayed faithful to what he's called them to do, even when life has been rubbish. Like, it seems Simeon isn't just one individual, it's almost like he represents this whole host of people who have stayed true to the word, stayed true to God, stayed faithful, clung on in there, even despite the suffering and the pain and the Romans and the silence. Simeon represents the steadfast ones. Church, this morning we read out Luke 2, the story of Simeon in the temple, but I was tempted to do the reading from the gap between the New Testament and the Old Testament, which would have been very short because it's just a blank page. And if you get hold of a Bible and look at it, there's always that blank page. Like Malachi ends and there's a blank page and then Matthew starts. That page, it represents 400 years. 400 years. 400 years of silence. It's 400 years of God not really doing anything. That's 400 years of what feels like no answered prayers. 400 years of feeling like nothing's happening. For the Israelites, it was 400 years of captivity or oppression or whatever you called the Roman occupation of Israel. It was 400 years of clinging on to the promise. And Simeon stay devout and righteous. One of the things we do at the church at Christmas is, and she doesn't like me saying it, but basically I wheel out Charity to do a couple of songs. And as I've told her, I'm like, a lot of the services are basically me waffling for quite a large portion. So it's nice just to have a bit of quality, something that's genuinely excellent anyway. So she, every year I ask her nicely, oh, will you just come along and do a song? Just wheel her out and do a... Last week, she did it fantastic. It sounded brilliant. And she was practicing for this year's performance song, whatever you want to call it. And just running through a couple of options. And there was... As that one, she was practicing one, stuck with me, really spoke to me. It was from Prince of Egypt. Don't know if you've seen the film or remember that, but there's great lyrics. Many nights we prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hope for a song we barely understood. For 400 years you got God saying seemingly nothing. 400 years of silence, 400 years of disappointment, 400 years of it feeling like God's not doing anything, 400 years of singing the songs you don't really understand, 400 years of clinging to this hope. Does anyone feel like that sometimes? Anyone feel like they're clinging to God through the edge of their fingernails? Ever feeling like you're singing songs you don't really understand? Ever feel like you just keep on holding on and holding on, even when God doesn't seem to be doing anything? For 400 years, the people waited. They sung their songs and they ate their meals and they marked their sacred days and they were waiting and they were clinging. They were singing the songs they didn't understand, and Simeon was devout and righteous. He kept going. Despite the silence, he kept doing the right thing. Despite the disappointments, he kept showing up. Simeon represents the faithful in Israel, the people who are faithful in the face of adversity. And if you feel like that this morning, if you feel like you are clinging on, if you feel like you are singing songs you don't really understand, can we be like Simeon? Can we keep doing the right thing? Can we keep on showing up? Can we keep on smiling? Can we keep on being faithful to what God has promised? Can we be like Simeon? Can we keep being devout and righteous even when we're in the middle of a blank page? Simeon represents the devout in the face of despair. He represents those among us who keep on going and going, even though it doesn't feel like we're making any progress. Simeon, the man who keeps on smiling and keeps on singing and keeps on praying and keeps on trusting and keeps on hoping and keeps on rocking up to the temple in the hope that God will move. Simeon is the kind of person who Paul writes about in Ephesians. Stand and stand, and after you have done everything, stand. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. And then Simeon holds the baby. If you talk to people outside a church, got no faith, you ask them, like, have you ever experienced a holy moment? I think you'd be interested by people's responses. Like, a truly holy moment. Often people will say, when the bride walks down the aisle. Because I don't care if you've got no faith. I don't care if you've never been to church. I don't care if you hate religion and have vowed never to darken the door of a church again. I'll tell you what, when a bride starts to walk up the aisle, you shut up. And you turn around, but there's more than just silence. There's an atmosphere in there. There's a feeling. The hairs on your back of your hands and arms stand up. There's an excitement and a tension in the air. It is a holy moment. When I asked how do people best experience God, I'm sure a lot of people would say through nature. There are times, aren't there, in our life where we see a sunset or a mountain or a scene that transcends the natural. It seems to be infused with something more than what we're visualizing. We seem to be taken, transcended to another plane that goes beyond. There's something holy about the scene. And I don't care whether you've got no faith or hate religion or vowed never to darken the door of a church again. There are moments in our life where we witness something of nature and it is holy. And I think for a lot of people, holding a newborn baby, that would be one of them. When you get that scrap of humanity, that completely dependent and innocent, bewildered, that's a holy moment. You look into its eyes with all its possibilities and hopes and innocence, and you think, there's something about that moment that transcends the ordinary, that is holy. Well, at least until it poos on you or something. Simeon has waited his whole life for this. But not just Simeon, the people of Israel have waited 400 years for this. And I don't know how long you've felt that you've been clinging on and holding on and singing on the same songs and clinging to a hope that goes beyond something you understand, but you keep on going and going. And Simeon gets to hold the baby. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. This baby is the end of the waiting. He gets to see in this scrap of humanity the end of the silence, because God has spoken and it looks like a newborn child. This isn't just the highlight of Simeon's day. This isn't just the highlight of his week. This is the culmination of his life. But not just that. This is the end of 400 years of silence as Simeon holds the baby and sees God with us. I don't know what kind of year you've had. I mean, for some people listening to this, you've probably had wonderful years. More money than month, and deepened your friendships, and grown as a person, and got stronger physically or sharper mentally. And you think, oh, 2019 was brilliant. For other people listening, it's not been quite so rosy. It's been a lot more month than money, and maybe the family is at each other's throats, or you've lost friends, and or you've lost health, or you've diminished in your mental well-being, and you're just hoping that 2019 finishes any day soon so we can start on 2020. For Simeon, regardless of what else had gone on in his life that week or that day or that year or for the rest of his life, when he holds the baby, he knows God has spoken. When he holds the baby, he knows that the years of silence and waiting are over. When he holds the baby, he can say, my eyes have seen your salvation. You can dismiss me in peace. This is the culmination of my life. I can die happy because I've held the baby. I have seen that God is moving again. I don't know what kind of year you've had. I don't know whether you feel like you're in the middle of one of those blank pages where there's a silence and a frustration or a disappointment and you're just clinging on. But I hope that at Christmas time, as we gather around the baby, we would know that God is with us. As we gather around the baby, we would know that God has spoken. That God is speaking, that God has moved close, that God has put skin on and moved into our neighbourhood, that God is with us. If you're clinging on, keep going. Keep doing the right thing. Keep on standing and standing and after everything to stand. And as we gather around the baby, let's know that God is speaking to us. Be that through nature or the worship or the prayer or the word or the people around us or family or at work or through our strangers in the street. Let's know that God is speaking to us because he has come close. as we gather around the baby, can we know that God is with us? Let's pray. Father, for those of us who feel we are clinging on by the edge of our fingernails, may we be like Simeon, devout and righteous. May we keep doing the right thing, even when it's hard. And I pray that this Christmas, as we all gather around the baby and the manger, may we know you with us. May we know your presence close to us. May we know a God who has moved into our neighbourhood. May we know a God, Emmanuel. Thank you for your presence. Be with us. Amen.